you know our plans, you know our agendas, you know all the things we try to make happen, so to speak. And even showing up to church, that happens. And so we want to release that as best we can to you. We want this moment to be a moment where your spirit speaks to ours, our hearts, and that you transform us into your kids again. Remind us of who we are to you. Tell us the things we need to hear. Thank you for Wes and Tara. Thank you for their hearts and for just how much you love them. And we just can't wait to hear your voice through them. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 All right, before we get started, I wanted to tell the kids to not only color these papers, but draw a picture about what makes your family special. So in our family, one of the things that we always say is Warners can do
hard things.
Warners can do hard things. So it's something that's very important to us. So remember, so we could draw a picture of how we can overcome. But there could be something that's special about being an Arbuckle, or about being the Pelios I family, or about being the De Gaulles or the Steiners. Like, draw that and also share with your parents what you love about being a part of your family. So I just want to encourage you guys while we're teaching to think about that.
That's wonderful, Tara. Thank you. All right, so thanks, guys, for having us here. We're just excited to be talking about parenting. It's something that we're passionate about, something we care deeply about. We know that this room is filled up. Can you not hear me? It's being recorded, but if you can't hear me, let me know. Okay, good. So we're in a room filled with our community. You guys are our people. Those are my parents right there. That's Rick and Diana Warner. Those are my parents right there. So it's amazing to be here with my parents, my friends. I've got people in here that I've grown up with throughout the years, mentors of mine, my best friend back there, Bronson, mentors like Janet and Danny and Brad and Allie and Robin to our family, Rick and Janet Arbuckle, good friends of ours. So you guys are all part of our community, so it's an honor to be able to, I guess, just kind of share how we've been parented in this community and kind of what God's put into our hearts and what he has to share today to this community. So why are we talking about parenting? What does that matter to us? Do you guys know what the fourth commandment is? Yeah, it's kind of a big deal, right? Right? Honoring your father and mother. So we are commanded to honor our parents.
Also, the only commandment we receive where you are promised a blessing.
That's right. So we're glad to open up this discussion, what this looks like to honor our parents together as a community, right? It's also interesting to know that a lack of parenting is one of the greatest contributors to people that end up in jail. What, you want to say something? She's like grabbing for the mic.
Yeah, I thought this was my part.
Oh, go
so,
ahead.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So when we don't have parents, we find that people are more likely to abuse drugs, to have suicidal tendencies, to have behavioral disorders, homelessness, deviant lifestyles, and we got this data from youngwarriors.org.
Yeah. Pretty interesting. They got lots of facts on there about what happens when, especially when fathers are absent from the household. It's pretty amazing what a difference fathers and family has upon the upbringing and the outcome of the children. I guess it's not that surprising, but it's counter to what we hear about in our culture today, where a lot of families are told they don't need parents. The dad doesn't matter if the dad's there or not. Mom can do it on her own. Whatever situation we can have, it's going to work out because, you know, the family unit doesn't really matter. Our heart, though, is that we need to take parenting seriously, because if we don't, the devil's ready to swoop in there and try to sow whatever he can into these young lives and these young people. We will leave youth vulnerable to that if we do not take the call to parent seriously. So why are we doing this in the Yes and Amen series? Why are we talking about parenting? Because he's promised us in John 14:18-20, he says, "No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you." That's the word of Jesus to his disciples. And I know this is a sensitive topic. I get it. It's sensitive because things we're going to talk about today
fly against the cultural norms that we live in America. It also has personal sensitivity because we've all grown up with parents. And I don't know if anybody can say they've had perfect parents. Does anybody say that? Your parents were perfect. Every single one of us have grown up with imperfect parents. It's just how it is, the human situation. So we all carry some kind of a wounding, some kind of a brokenness from our upbringing. And that makes it sensitive. I get it. Also, some of us may be parents now. So it can be hard to kind of listen to parenting while we're parenting, right? Some of us may want to be parents, and we're not parents. So we may have that feeling like, wow, what's this for me? I want to be parents, but I can't be. Or maybe you don't want to be parents. It's something you don't care about. So why talk about parenting with you, huh? Some of us are children in here. Children, right? So children have parents. Some of us are young adults in that age range. And some of us here are not sure if they are an adult or a child. They're not sure where they fit, right? I'm not going to have you raise your hands. We got all different kinds of situations in here. And the word of the Lord to all of us, no matter what situation we're in, what role we're in, is that I will not abandon you. I am there for you and will come to you. That's what Jesus says. And I want everyone to remember that regardless of where we are and what stage we're in, we are all called to be to the same destiny, to live out the image of God. We are all called to that same destiny as Christians. And God makes it very clear that he presents himself as a father. He has a parent role for everybody. And so for us as humans to live out that destiny, to fulfill the image of God, we are also called to become like him in his fatherhood, in his parenting kind of a revelation of who he is. So I want everyone to remember that. Jesus did not present himself as just the child. He grew up and became an adult. The Father didn't say, the Father God, right? He doesn't say, I'm God the child. He calls himself God the Father, the adult, the parent. And Jesus even affirms this in John 14:9. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The image of the Father is in Jesus. Am I talking too much? Okay, am I right? All right. All
right.
And in Colossians, Paul says, we are to put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. We are called to put on the role of the image of our creator. That is our Father God. And in case you're thinking, no, you know, Wes, Tara, that's still not me. I'm still not called to be a parent, not called to be a father. Well, take Paul for an example. When he wrote to the people in Corinthians, he said, for the sake of Jesus Christ, I became your father through the gospel. This is a man who never married, never had kids by his own body, but he became a father because that was the image of God that he was fulfilling and his role in upbringing and sowing the gospel, sowing the good news of what God has for us. So we are all called to look like our father. We're all called to look like the image of God. And until we kind of step into that role, we're just going to be an area of our hearts that is unfulfilled. That's where we're going to be going today. So that's just the introduction. Are you guys ready to pray? Okay, let's pray together, huh? Do you want to pray or me?
You do it.
All right, God. God, Father God, Father God, our dad, we love you. Thank you so much for being for us, for being with us. You've never abandoned us. You are always coming for us. Your love for us is overflowing to the maximum. You take care of all of our wounds. You take care of our hearts, God, and you love for us so much. And I pray here today that your Holy Spirit would be poured out, that we would have an encounter with you that heals us, that grows us, that makes us feel challenged and fall more in, like, totally in love with you to the maximum. And I pray, God, that any words that are not beneficial to this community, I pray that those would fall away and they would only be left with your word, God, everything that you care about, everything that's on your heart. I pray that would be sown into this community.
And I just want to add, I want us to be people that can say yes and amen to parenting, whether it's receiving parenting in our life, whether it's stepping into parenting in the way that you're asking us to. I ask, Father, that we would be a people that can say that yes and amen to you. Amen.
Amen. Okay. So we got three things we really want to talk about today. One of them is what is parenting? And then how do we engage it? And then how to heal from disconnections in family. So we got those three things. The first thing is, what is parenting? And we kind of want to look at the difference between what a child is and what an adult is. Because that's, to us, that's the hardest. Raising up a children to adulthood. That's the role of a parent to us.
I don't know if you guys are on Instagram. I do Instagram. But you can find this floating around the internet right now. And it is, where are you from? And they go, the hood. And then they go, adulthood. And I want to leave. And at first I was like, oh, that's so funny. I get it. Being an adult is hard. But then it kind of made me sad, because we're looking at what is parenting. And the purpose of parenting is to raise a child into adulthood, but to actually want to be an adult. And we're seeing an attack right now just based off that silly reel on adulthood, that it is not fun or enjoyable to be a grown up.
Yeah, totally. And there's so much to this. We can't unpack everything about adulthood and the parenting process. We can only share a little bit at this time. Otherwise, we'll be here for like, you know, the next 20 years. But we're going to dive into some of these main differences, because this is ignored in our culture, just like what Tara said. Adulthood is like not an American value. It is youth. Youth is the American value. The focus and the fixation upon juvenilization of this culture, that is what movies portray. That's what Americans love, okay? So adulthood and the change from a child to an adult is something we don't even talk about. There are probably people in this room that might not have even thought about this, okay? Might not have even thought about it, might have never talked about it with their families. I don't know. It's possible. It's very possible. It's not even on the radar. So I hope it is, but it might not be. That's okay, though. We're going to look at what the differences are right now, some of the main differences. So I teach science, so one of them is a biological difference. All right, the biological difference, if you look at species, juveniles, children, can't reproduce, and adults can. That's the difference between a child and an adult biologically. So adults have the ability to reproduce. There's another difference, and it's in the prefrontal cortex of children. Do you guys know what that is? Yeah. All right, it's a part of your brain right here in the front. Children have it. It's just not activated until about age 10 is when it actually starts to switch on. And it's actually one of the last places to fully develop in the human brain. It doesn't get fully developed until about age 25. But 10 years old is when it starts to click, and you start seeing those differences in your children at about 12, 13, because it changes the way that they cognitively engage the world and think about themselves. And some of the differences involved, is it all right if I just keep going on this? Or do you want to talk about it?
I want to
answer. All right, you got something?
Go for it. We read a book, and it explained it really well, but you get to like 10 to 14, and they actually have done brain scans, and there is a shift in these young people. I don't know. They're not quite, I don't like the term tween, but these adolescents, they actually start shifting who they listen to and what voices they start to value and are important. And the voices that actually stand out the most to them are the voices that say,
well, that affirm that they have the ability to make up their own mind, really. They're looking for people to validate that what's actually happening to them is actually happening. Like, they want people, they don't want to feel crazy. Like, no, they got these cognitive abilities. Can I talk more about those? Or you got more? Okay. So the difference between a child and an adult cognitively, it's very interesting. Children are able to hold a single viewpoint, what's right and what's wrong. It's limited. They don't have the ability, because the prefrontal cortex is not developed, they don't have the ability to think through what their choices today will do 10 years in the future. They don't have the ability to think about how it's going to affect relationships, how the consequences are going to be, And you see all the time, right? Who's more likely to run out into the street after a ball? Obviously, right? Who's more likely to not care about brushing their teeth? Exactly. So the part of their brain, it's just not developed yet. Adults, when this part of the brain starts turning on, the ability to think through different viewpoints. Wow, this is what these people believe. That's what these people believe. That's what these people believe. And the ability to say, well, let's compare them. Let's look at what the differences are. What do I believe? That part clicks on inside of the brains of young people at this age when the prefrontal cortex starts turning on. Not only that, but they can start to, as this develops more and more further, the ability to think about the consequences of an action. It's not fully there yet, but it starts to develop more and more and more all the way until you're about 25 years old.
And I also want to add that this is under attack right now. If you go on to TikTok, if you go on to YouTube right now, there are adult voices who have their prefrontal cortex developed, and they are now saying, oh, do you feel uncomfortable in your skin? Maybe you're not really meant to be who you are. And it's really disturbing because they're asking these adolescents that can't see the future to make permanent decisions about their own bodies that they can never get back. And it's really disturbing. And the devil wants our kids. The devil wants to stop them from fulfilling their destinies and from being made in the image of God. And your voices matter. You need to... I'm charging us to take responsibility, and we need to step up with truth in this culture.
Yeah, because the children these days, they are being called out by other voices. They're being told that they are adults and they can make these choices. Other voices are calling them out that way. And it's interesting, all right? We got to be thinking about this. We got to be ready for this. Now, another difference between children and adults, the last one I'm going to look at specifically, is the area of personal responsibility. Okay? Children are not responsible for themselves. If they go into the store and they break a vase, guess who has to pay for it? Mom or dad is going to be accountable. All right? That's just how it works. Nobody depends on children. Nobody says, here you go, children, take care of the whole house for us. We'll be back in a week. Nobody does that. All right? Children are not personally responsible. They're learning that kind of responsibility, but they are not. The adults are responsible. And the adult is different than a child because the adult is personally responsible for their own mistakes, their own achievements, and they have a place in the community where they can, when they get in a community as an adult, they can specialize and they can take care of certain responsibilities. Other adults can take care of other responsibilities, and they can work and be reliant on each other inside of a community. That's how adults grow up into a community. All right. And the goal of that, you want to talk about that right there?
Yeah. So when I get asked a lot, how can I be consistent as a mom, and I give advice, I always say that my end goal is to make obedient humans. And that sounds weird. I'm not saying I want to create good workers in the world. That's not my heart. My heart is, if they can say yes to mom, then who can they say yes to as adults? Jesus. And the quicker that they can say yes to me and to dad, I'm hoping the end goal is they can say yes to their Lord and Savior and be obedient to the calling on their life. That is my goal.
That's right. So we're looking to transfer children who are obedient to their parents into God's hands so that they will be now accountable to God and responsible to God for their life and for their actions.
Their
Father in heaven, exactly. So that is the handoff there from children to adulthood. Cool?
Yeah.
All right, interesting. Okay, so that's our explaining parenting. What's the difference between children and adults? Now we want to talk a little bit about how to engage parenting. How do we engage it? So again, this is where we're coming from. We're sharing our ideas. This is a conversation. We're happy to talk about this and unpack it further. We obviously cannot dig in super deep into any of these things here without, you know, needing like I said, 20 years. So let's see. So how do we engage parenting? First of all, do not get distracted by the cultural models out there. All right? Paul is very clear. We all know from our upbringing as Christians, if we are Christians, or some of us might not be, I don't know. But it's important to know that we are taught that we are not to conform to the patterns of this world. We are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We are to be transformed by following God. I found this quote by D.L. Moody. I like it. I'm going to share it with you. He says that the Christian should live in the world, but not be filled with it. Like a ship that lives in the water, but if the water gets into the ship, she will sink to the bottom. So Christians may live in the world, but if the world gets in them, boom, they sink. So we are to find our roles not in the world and in the culture around us, but in God. So first of all, let's look at what the role is of a child. And we're just going to boil it down pretty simple here. As a child, the verse that I'm thinking of is in Ephesians, I believe. And it says, children are to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is pleasing to God. You guys familiar with that? Okay. So, Corbin, would you like to talk a little bit about what obedience is? This is my son, Corbin. And I wanted to have everybody here, my family here, so they can also share pieces about what they felt like they wanted to share. I'd asked them earlier, what do you feel like talking about? What do you feel like sharing about? Corbin wanted to share about what obedience is. Is that right? Okay, you ready? Okay, buddy, here you go.
Obedience is something that is kind of like a cousin to disobedience, and you need obedience so that you can obey. And obedience is something you need to have when you're a child, and you need to obey older people. And if you are somebody younger than another kid, you got to listen to them. But if like a stranger just walks in and says, give me your money or anything like that, you don't have to listen to them because you don't know them and they are stranger.
Anything else you want to add? I love that. Thank you, Corbin. Love you. Love that guy. Did you want to add anything else about obedience?
Yeah, I just want to throw out just a reminder, if you are a parent, think about the chaos that disobedience brings to your home. I'm sure we've all had those tantrums and we've all had those fights, but being consistent to call it out and see it through is so valuable. It adds peace into a home.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Awesome. So that's it. Children have got a pretty simple expectation on them. Obedience. Parents have got a bigger role to fill. All right. Parents do. So parents are called to fulfill God's image as a parent. All right. The father's revelation. He revealed himself as a father. We're to fulfill that in our families. So first of all, we need to accept our male or female image, whether we're male or female. We need to accept the image that we represent in God. I know that a lot of the ideas about male and female differences are under attack in this generation. And so I know that culturally it flies in a lot of faces. But men need to know that you guys represent the image of God. You represent his authority in your households. And a lot of the time the men are told that it's a curse if they wield authority. A curse if they pick up authority and if they use that. And that's not a godly teaching. It's not taught anywhere that for men to represent the authority of God, it's a curse. God reveals himself as a father with authority. So for men to represent that is a godly thing. And women represent this nurturing, beautiful side of God that men don't have, this nurturing, caring side. So together we represent the image of God. We need each other, the male and the female. We can't just be like, oh, we're the same kind of thing. You know, we're not.
And I heard a really cool word recently, and it was that the son Jesus Christ, who submitted himself fully to the Father, was still fully himself. He walked in authority. He walked in confidence. He wasn't, his submission didn't equal this subservience and belittlement of who he was. His submission actually equated a more powerful version of himself. And I just think that's really beautiful. I know it's hard sometimes as women to struggle with what does the concept of submission mean. But when I'm living out that feminine heart and, you know, trusting in my husband's leadership, I feel more fully myself.
Yeah. And I think it's like the most beautiful thing. So I love you.
Thanks. Come here.
Guys, just have a little moment here. I love you. Okay. So accept the image of God that you have been blessed with. Accept it. And with your partner, make battle plans. Because the enemy is coming for your families. All right? He totally is. It's incredible how obvious it is these days.
Yep. And they're really simple. It's like, hey, if I say something and if you don't agree with it, can you please talk with me in the other room and then we'll proceed with discipline? Are we perfect at this? No. Can my children tell multiple stories of how we have not done this well? Yes. I'm sure they can. Oh, they're nodding. But just like little things. Like we decided a long time ago that we were going to give our kids more information probably than most parents do. But we read data that said that kids who have more information do better than kids who were given less information. And they're usually, anyway, we could share that stuff with you later. But just little things like that. Like how are you going to deal with this topic or that topic? And are you going to be a united front? Those things are really valuable.
Yeah, because parents, our goal at this age, before 10 years old, we need to make sure that they are getting our worldview imprinted on them. That is the goal of parenting at this age, because these kids need the best, most advanced mindset they can possibly get. And if you're not giving them your worldview, which is the way you process and understand the world, then what are they going to do? Learn thousands of years of education on their own? No, we're trying to imprint on them a way of understanding and a sense of what God, what, you know, our faith, our religion, everything about who we are, we want to pass down to our kids so they have the best possible chance as adults. Now, this is also a community thing because we're in community. This is something that we're not just doing alone. You heard the saying, it takes a village. So a good question to ask is when you're with other parents and you're an adult, how can I help support your family's goals? What can I do as an adult to help support your family's discipline plan and all of the above? Get talking about this stuff. You know, we need to talk about it. It's a conversation that we can have as adults in community.
I remembered a story today while I was worshiping, and it is when I was younger, I was raised in this church, as you all know this. But Christy Williamson took it upon herself to take me out once a week. And she is a woman who was single. She used to attend our church, but she really saw that it was important to love me. And I am better because of that. And you don't have to know what you're doing, just for the record. If your community wanting to pour into our family, she didn't know what to do with me. So we would go to Jack in the Box. We would get Oreo shakes and fries. We would dip our fries in the shake and we would read Narnia together. It wasn't hard, but I felt so loved and so poured into with that little bit. Or our church used to have a cafe. I wish we had like a social spot where we could just randomly meet. But men would sit down and teach me how to play chess or teach me to shuffle. I learned to shuffle from people in this church. That's a good life skill. How do you shuffle cards? And how do you do the Brit? You know, like, how do you do a bridge? Like, those are important things to know. And I was taught that through our community.
I love that. All right. I brought Gabriel up here because he wanted to talk about how early it is that kids can start getting trained. Is that right? When do you think kids can start getting trained for obedience and for worldview imprinting? What do you think?
Two.
Oh, Speak up because they can't hear you. Yeah.
Wait, does this work?
No, it doesn't. It's just for recording purposes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Two?
Okay. So you're saying they can start getting trained at about two? All right. And why do kids need that? Why do they need training?
Because if they don't have train... Because if they don't have training, they'll be a disobedient kid and they could die because of that. Because they could go do something when you told them not to, like run into the street or run into the street without looking both ways or something like that. And if they don't have that training, you can lose your kid.
That's a very good point. Thank you. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. All right. That's right. So some of the things we want to do in our Warner worldview is give our kids a feeling of belonging and give them work to do. We understand that kids can be spoiled if you do not if there's like four reasons why kids can get spoiled. One, they have too much material wealth, too many material possessions. Two, not enough presence from their adults, parents in their life. Three, not enough rules. And four, not enough work to do. Not enough work to do, right? So we want to give our kids work. We don't want to give them too much materials. We want to be present in their lives. And we want to give them rules as children to follow. All right, all of those things will help raise up kids that will be successful. And with that kind of framework, kids are going to grow. God's going to bless them. They're going to grow. It's not like they need there's so many different ways you can parent your kids and still end up with great kids, you know, as long as you're just being careful and observant that, you know, you're not going to spoil them. And in Orange County especially, we find that this is a place where there's a lot of affluence, a lot of wealth. It's really easy for parents to get caught up in, wow, look at that new house down the street, or look at that car. Wow, maybe I should work, you know, overtime so I can get something like that. And you end up trading the time you could spend with your kids for a bigger house with bigger rooms. And the kids, do they really need that? Do they really care to have a giant room all to themselves? Maybe something about them might not like that. But would you trade your parents for that? Would you rather have time with your parents, or would you rather have a big room all to yourself? Exactly. She's over there pointing at her mom right now saying, I want my mom. You're right? This is what kids really want, what they really need. So don't forget that. Don't trade away your greatest gifts for... something that Orange County promotes is like everybody's got it or something. It doesn't really matter. And one way that we work this into our family is, you want to talk about the way we date our kids?
Yeah, we date our kids. It has been a game changer. We saw a huge shift in disciplining and just them feeling connected as we homeschool them. And when we get to the end of the week and we realize they're kind of acting funny and not being quite themselves, oh, we haven't gone on a date with them this week. That is why this is coming up. And in our family, the way that we do this is we have two more kids than most people. So we split them up. He gets three for like about a quarter of the year and I get three. And then we'll do a swap. And we spend 1 hour, and it's so easy, guys. I have to go to Costco.
And fun.
It is fun. Yeah. So I go to Costco a lot, right? Who has Costco dates with mom? But with my Costco dates, I'm also training my kids in how to be kind to people. We make conversations with the sample people. And can you guys remember the name of the man that we love, Mr. Roy. We made really good friends with Mr. Roy through the process of going on dates with mom, to the point where when he sees us coming, he'll give us a huge sample. If he's supposed to cut up a quarter of a chicken burger, he'll give us half the chicken burger, because he just loves our presence and being with us. And I take the time to not only make the date about getting to know my kids, but I also make the date, hey, this is how we show up in the world. These are my expectations of you. I use this as an opportunity to mentor my children, and it's really special.
It's really special. I love my dates with the kids. It's like one of my favorite things to do, dating my kids and dating my wife, but we're not talking about the marriage stuff right now, mostly the parenting here. So, yeah, it's a pleasure to go on dates with these guys. And I've learned so much through them. On the dates is when I really get to hear their heart. I can get feedback from them about how parenting is going, how their lives are going, and I really get to check in with them and see what's going on. I always say, we're not done with our date until we've had a chance to pray for each other. So we had a chance to hear what's on each other's hearts and pray for each other. So it's an opportunity for mentoring as well, especially as they get older. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. Okay. The last thing that parents, we're going to talk about today is that parents need to watch for when young adults are emerging. All right. That's something we need to be on the lookout for, because there is a change taking place in children, and we need to be ready for that. Amara, where are you at? Did you want to talk about when you think children are ready to be called forth into young adulthood? Okay. Amara, I love you. Come here. This is my daughter, Amara. All right, go ahead. Get close. There we go.
Okay. So I think children are ready to become adults when they're around the age of like 13 and 15, because that's when their brain starts to develop and start thinking like a young adult. And also, I think it depends on when your parents want to call you out, too. And I think that's one of the most important components.
Yeah, thanks for sharing, Amara. You're good. There you go. That's Amara. That's what she wanted to share, so that's awesome. Now, Amara is almost ready for that. We're going to be planning her kind of blessing ceremony soon. But don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. It happens to parents all the time. You're like, what? Where did the adult come from all of a sudden? You know, it's the talking back to me, and it's like running off doing its own things, listening to its own ideas. What happened to my baby, right? But don't be. You're not in bad company. That even happened to Mary and Joseph. Do you remember that? Mary and Joseph had that happen. They were coming back from the Passover, and they look around. And they're like, where'd Jesus go? Where did he go? And he has disappeared for 3 days. When he was 12 years old, and they go and they find him in the temple, and Jesus says, why are you looking for me? Don't you know I'm going to be in my Father's house? And he's communicating to these adults, his parents, who don't even realize it at the time. It even says they didn't understand what he was talking about. But he's communicating that there's a transference there going on. He's moving from accountability to his earthly parents to his heavenly Father, and he's aware of that at that age. So even Jesus has that kind of models that for us in the scriptures. It's pretty amazing. So when you see your children going through this kind of change, do you know what they need? They need... You want to talk about it? You can talk. Okay. He's ready for the next part, right? They need a blessing from their dad. Their dad is a symbol of authority in their life. It's a symbol of God's authority in their life. They need that blessing from their dad. They need to hear it from him. So you want to say something? Go ahead.
Yeah. And we didn't just pull this out of a hat. This isn't something we made up. But you can see this actually in scripture. And it says that after Jesus was baptized, a voice came from heaven. You are my beloved son. With you, I am well pleased. So we see that not only do like we need a blessing, but even Jesus Christ needed a blessing. And we were taught what that looks like and how to move forward in that. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So this is important. If it's important for Jesus, it's important for all of us, right? So basically what it boils down to in our family, what we feel like our kids need to hear is that we believe in them. So when Hero became an adult, I had her in front of our community and our church. Same with Asher. And I told them that I believe in them and that I'm proud of them and that I love them and that I know that I believe that they have what it takes to be adults. I said that to him in front of the community as a public declaration of my love and belief in them and as a recognition that they're changing into adults, that they are young adults. So Asher, I'm curious, would you like to share a little bit about that? Because there's a new role that comes up when you make this transference from young adulthood, from childhood into young adulthood. The parents have to take on a new role. They have to learn a new role. It's not the same as being a parent to a child anymore. And the child takes on a new role because it's not the same as being a child anymore. They need to use those brain functions and develop them so that they become adequate for success when they're out of our house, right? So what is your why do you see the parenting shift as you become a young adult? What's that?
Okay, never mind. Okay, so as they transfer to becoming a young adult, you can't really control them anymore. You can't. It's no longer about teaching them how to be obedient and setting boundaries for them. It's them fulfilling their role as being obedient to God now. And then they, and instead of,
doing great.
No, it's okay.
You got this.
What do we do instead of telling you what to do?
Okay, yes, thank you. And now instead of telling them what to do and telling them what to be, you can be curious and figure out how to help them reach their goal, what they can be, by being curious and asking them questions. And
do you like that we ask permission to give you feedback?
Yes. And instead of telling them how you think, you can ask them if you can. You can ask them.
Yeah, that was great. Thank you. Thanks for sharing your thoughts on that. All right. Yeah. And so she brought up some really good points there. Like we ask permission if we can speak into their life. Hey, can I give you some feedback on how I see your room looking this week? No, I don't want to talk about it. Okay. Can we talk about it later? Maybe, you know, maybe we can, right? So we want to respect them and give them the opportunity. And I've never had a time where my young adults were not open to listening and getting feedback. They want to hear feedback because we affirm them as young adults, because we respect them. They want to get that feedback. They want to know what we think. But they want to be treated as young adults. They want to get it respectfully. They want to be respected in that. So you got something?
I just want to add, that doesn't mean that we don't still have rules to abide by. Yes. It's the same as if you have a roommate living in your house. You're going to say, hey, we still, if you're going to pay rent with me, we expect you to do your own dishes. We want you to provide one meal a week, whatever your arrangement is. We still have family house. If you're living in our house, this is what it looks like. So they're taking ownership of their own lives, really, I believe, helps them be even more respectful of the house rules.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Good job. All right, so that's what parents are. That's like the role of a parent we see. And then we're going to look at the role of a young adult real quick, and then we're going to look at how to heal disconnections here. So young adults, if there are young adults in here or listening to this, first of all, accept your destiny in the image of God. And it may be a new role for you, but step into it. Look for connections in a community that acknowledge you as a young adult or as an adult, male or female, and sees the image of God in you and respects that in you. Don't be the Rapunzel singing in her tower, when will my life begin? The kids always like it when I do that. I know. You like it too, huh? All right. I love it. Yeah. So don't be the Rapunzel in the tower singing, when's my life going to begin? I'm just waiting up here for something to happen to me. Okay. Live your life. Go. Fulfill the image of God now. Get that blessing and go do all the stuff that you want to do. Go live out your lives. Go see what God has for you. Hero, do you have anything you want to say? Yeah.
Do you have anything you want to say? You can go up here.
So I also want to add that we can see this today, though, with this. We've accepted as a society this lingering adolescence, and you can watch a movie about colleges, and what happens is they go off and they're still acting like buffoons. They're not taking responsibility of their own life. We've somehow allowed this narrative that says, oh, you need to find yourself in college. I think that this time with them in our house is the time when they need to discover who they are. And if they still have some questions about who they are, I think that we need to, as a church, start saying, go do a mission, serve the Lord. What better way to discover who you are? But I don't think that college is the time to peruse your, I don't know. We've just made it so yucky now.
Yeah, it definitely made it yucky. Kira, do you have a message to young adults that you feel like is on your heart?
Maybe? Yes.
Yes.
I feel like a lot of times, especially in my own friend group or at my school, it's very easy for my age group to not want to grow up or so-and-so. They think it's kind of like this time bomb that as soon as when you turn 18, suddenly you're going to be sucked into a world of politics and taxes and a 9-to-5 job every single day of the week. And I think because of that, they dread this idea of being a young adult because suddenly you'll have all these responsibilities that you shouldn't have to deal with at my age. I hear that also from parents often that don't agree with my family's parenting style. And they think that I'm being pushed into an overwhelming workload that I shouldn't have to deal with at my age. I strongly disagree with that because as I'm growing up, I'm realizing it's not a sort of push of responsibilities. I'm just facing them and at a much slower pace than I would be when I'm 18 and I'm suddenly with these things that I don't know how to deal with. But because I was brought into it when I was 13 and I was under my parents' care, I was eased into it. And I was slowly taught step by step on what to do next instead of a overwhelming list of here's everything you have to do now. I've also been learning more about what it means to work hard and don't take moments for granted because it's also easy for it to get into my head that now that I'm growing older, I won't have time to hang out or have friends. But then I look around and I see my family, my mom and dad, they love spending time with the Steiners and they have best friends and I will gladly say they have fun together. It's not like it's a cease of existence in their life. Except I see that also a lot in the media. They say that all the time. High school is the time of your life and this is where you'll never forget anything. But I think that's wrong. I think you're going to have more fun the older you get. Because you'll have more experience and you will be closer with Jesus and you probably will have a spouse that you love and you will have an understanding of who you are. And I think because of that, more things come together for a greater time. Honestly, this all boils down to don't be afraid. Just step into it. You're just going to waste time and make it harder for yourself later.
Thanks, Cheryl. I don't know, I kind of feel like I could just sit down and let you take the rest of this, Hero. So thank you. Thanks for sharing your heart on that. So if you're a young adult, if you are feeling stuck or confused, like I don't know how to move forward with being an adult, get in mentorship now. Get you through mentorship, as it says in Jeremiah 6:17. You want to read that real quick?
Yeah. This is what the Lord says. Stand by the roadways and look. Ask about the ancient paths. Which way to what is good? Then take it and find rest for yourselves. And it also goes on to say that the Lord has appointed watchmen over us. Listen for the sound of them.
That's right. Through mentorship and education, you can, as a young adult, without that prefrontal cortex developed yet, right? You don't have the ability to see long range effects of your decisions. But through mentorship, you can be given education that extends hundreds of years of experience, thousands of years of experience passed down to you, and suddenly you're able to make decisions way beyond your years just because you're in a connection with education and mentorship that's going to enable that in you. It's fantastic. So get that kind of mentorship if you're feeling stuck or confused at all. All right. How are we doing, guys? Woo. Oh, man. Are you? Okay. Well, our last set here is how to heal disconnection. How to heal disconnection. Now, this is very important. Why? Because have you guys heard of the generation gap? You heard about this? This is where the younger generations don't like the older generations, and the older generations don't like the younger generations. Okay, boomer, have you heard about that? Stuff like that? Yeah, it's where the generations don't really respect each other and don't see value in each other. And this is not God's plan. God's plan is for generations to work together. And in fact, the prophet Malachi, in the very end of the New Testament, he says that the prophet Elijah to come is going to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of their children to the parents. So this is something that God cares deeply about. He cares that the generations are unified, working together. And it's a trap to fall into this idea that the generations are not supposed to be for each other. And do you know how these gaps are caused? Yes, cultural stuff, very good. Sin, very good. Yes, very good. There's a lot of reasons why these gaps form. And at the root of them is some kind of a wound. Some kind of a wound. So we get hurt in families, whether it's intentional or not. There are all kinds of things that happen. There are abuses, there are drugs, alcoholism, affairs, divorce, betrayal, incest, abandonment. There's so many different things, isolation, you name it, that can happen to us inside of families. Now, be on the watch as parents, as adults, be on the watch for signs of withdrawal and isolation. When you start seeing a young adult or a child holding themselves back somehow, or an adult, even an adult, it could be an adult in this fellowship that's not able to express themselves, that means there is a sign there that they are holding themselves back. There is some kind of woundedness, some kind of lack of forgiveness that is holding them back. As it says in Proverbs 17:9, love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends. Love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends. That is Proverbs 17:9. So anytime you are seeing some kind of withdrawal, some kind of holding back, that is a time to sit down and start being curious, to ask questions about what's causing that and ask if you can get feedback. Who'd like to talk about their parents making a mistake? When do you want to talk about that? Asher, do you have something you can share about a recent problem that I caused, anything? Would you like to do that? Christian wants to talk about a mistake. Christian, you got a mistake that we made? He just wants to say hi. You can say hi, Christian. Yeah. Anybody want to share something? It's okay. Yeah, you can share something recent or not. That's totally cool. Yeah. So I'm not exactly sure what she's going to say, but this is what we need to do. So it's fine to talk about, get feedback about your parenting. So I do that with my mentors. I got like Brad and Allie. I got my own parents over here. I got friends, Bronson, Danny. I got so many people that I can talk to. But I also talk to my own kids. You know, I want to know how it's working. So what is a mistake or a problem that I caused recently? Can you share that? Oh, no, it doesn't have to be recent. You can share anything you want. Go ahead.
I don't have any recently.
That's okay. Go ahead.
Okay. So often I feel like one mistake my parents would always make is putting us on timeout or telling us we're in trouble without explaining why we are in trouble. So I had this one memory of me playing ball inside the house, and my dad put me on timeout because I was playing the ball inside the house. But I took it as I got in trouble for playing with the ball because he didn't explain to me why I got in trouble. And so I thought every time I was playing with the ball, I was doing something wrong. And I think it's important for parents to make sure the child understands why they're in trouble. So, like, walk it through them, ask for their opinion on why they think they got in trouble. Get the idea.
Thank you. Great. You guys, give her a round of applause for that. That's awesome. Now my job as a parent there is to listen. Not, I don't want to be defensive in that. I don't want to be like, well, you deserved it, this and that. No, I don't. Don't go there. But I want to understand, have empathy, and understand that you felt hurt at that time. You felt hurt and confused. Right. So I want to learn from that and learn that, hey, I could give more instruction after the timeout. I could talk about this further because my point wasn't getting across. Somehow I'm the adult there. What I was trying to instill in her did not get received. So that's my responsibility. I can apologize for that. And Asher, have you forgiven me for that? Did I already ask for forgiveness? I did? Okay. Well, I love you. Thank you. Okay.
I also want to add that it's easy to feel offended by your young adults, especially, and to fall into the trap of, oh, that teenager, blah, 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 right? And I feel like that lingo is normalized in at least the motherhood culture, where my teen did this, my teenagers suck, right? There's this really sad mentality that I feel like, even as we were getting ready to raise up our young women, we were told, oh, just wait till they're teens. So I just want to say that I can get offended. I have said to my young women in my life, what's wrong with you? I don't like that attitude. But when I come to them and say, you know what? I've just been experiencing you this way. I'm feeling hurt right now. Is there something I need to do to like help fix this relationship? Things go much better than when I come from a place of attack. And it's hard. It's hard because I'm not taught how to do this. I feel like we're doing new things that I don't have the support from other people who have done this before me. So, but it's worth it. I just want to say it's worth it to come at it from this place of curiosity and realizing that you're part of the relationship and the conflict.
That's good. Thank you. Okay. So if you do get in a situation where there, you need some more support than that, that's when you get counseling, get your pastor involved, go get some more counsel. And God has healing for that. Jesus says, I will not abandon you. He has healing for any kind of these wounds that we've experienced, any kind of a separation we've experienced with family members or with other people in our church, could be mentors and leaders in our church, pastors in churches. You could have experienced the wounding in any of those ways. But I want you to remember that Jesus will not abandon you. He did not abandon us as orphans, and he's still here with us. The love that he has is not going to shut down. Corbin, do you want to read a verse about love? Would you do that?
Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is proud. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves.
Always perseveres. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 13. Good job, bud. 1 Corinthians 13. I'm sure you guys are familiar with that. That is love. It's always going to persevere. It's always going to protect, always going to hope. And it's got no record of wrongs. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. So if you feel like there's a place where you need that love to touch in your heart, then that means it's a sign that there is a need for confessions of sin to God, a place you need to confess sin to God. You need to confess that wound to God and get forgiveness for it. And To see even more healing, it needs to go beyond confessing to God, because God will forgive your sins. But the scriptures teach us that if you want to get healing, you confess that to the right people. You talk about it to the right people. And through the community, God is doing amazing things. You see, you received some kind of brokenness through that sin, right? A loss of a family member, a loss of a friend, some kind of a problem was caused, right? God just doesn't want to forgive that. He wants to heal that and put new people there in connection with you. He wants to rebuild your family. And that happens when you confess and get healing through other people, through the right people. You talk with the other people, God is going to bless, heal that, and put new people in your life and repackage you up and give you a family that you need. God made you to be in family, made you to be in connections. So the chances are today, and that's the end. This is now the conclusion here, all right? Chances are today we've brought up, you know, with all the good and all the ideas and stuff we're talking about, that there is wounds that we brought up. There is pain that we brought up. It is very likely. It's possible, too, that there are people here that never even heard their dad say that they're loved by their dad. It's possible. I could say how many people have never heard their dad say that they are loved. And it's quite possible. A lot of us might not have ever heard that. However, everybody needs God's love. Everybody needs to hear their father say that they are loved. And even if we've never heard that, we can hear that in the sacrifice that Jesus made. The Father sent his Son here to earth to die for us because he loves us. He loves every single one of us. And so whether or not we're believers in that, whether or not we have had great parents or crummy parents or we don't even know our parents, right? It could be anything. We can receive healing from our Father in heaven because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So we can forgive through receiving that healing from God, that love from God. We can forgive wounds and trauma and abandonment from parents and mentor figures. God has promised he will be our parent. There is no abandonment. All of this is yes and amen in the Lord. He will do that. So how about we pray for a minute to just kind of let the Lord touch where we need to be touched in our heart. So if you will please bow your heads with me. Dad, I know just saying your name brings up memories, brings up so many feelings. But Dad, you are our perfect Father in heaven. Dad, you have loved us forever. You have not abandoned us. You've been there for us the entire time. And even right now, I pray that anybody that's here that's feeling some kind of a wound, some kind of anything that was brought up, anything, whether something we did to our own kids or something we experienced from our own parents or at the hands of people in the church or mentors or pastors, or any kind of a wounding that comes from like a family parenting kind of a relationship. We know these are so deep. We know they hurt so much. And Father, I just want to invite you into those wounds and to anybody here that wants to receive healing in that. And if that's somebody here, if you're feeling like that, would you just lift up that place in your heart to the Lord? You can confess that wound, that place that hurts, whatever that is, whatever's been brought up. You've maybe gone through healing before and, you know, you're in a different place of life. And now like, wow, I didn't even expect that to be brought up in this sermon about parenting. You know, whatever that is, just lift that up to the Lord right now. In your heart to him, I want you to hear that whatever pain you have, whatever you felt, whenever you were lost, and you already felt abandoned, the Lord was there and is here for you. And his healing is here for you. His love is here for you. It's maximum to the overflowing. It's abundant. And you are forgiven for that. If you want forgiveness, it is yours. It is absolutely yours. If you're confessing something, you have forgiveness for that. You have healing. And if you have got a wound from a parent or somebody, release them. Go ahead and just say it in your heart. Say, I forgive that person. I forgive whatever they did. And release that same forgiveness that God's poured into you, into those relationships. You will feel different. If you got pain in your chest that this is bringing up, you can put your hand on it. You can feel this. As you release forgiveness, you can feel the difference and the change, even in your own body. Even in your own body. And I want to bless everybody here that is, everybody's here as a child. We're all a child of God. We're all growing up. And I want to bless everybody here to know that you can get full healing. I've been, and I want to bless you in that in Jesus' name. So, amen. And I just want to encourage you here at the end to know that if you feel like, man, I still feel like I got some pain in my heart, you know, God forgives you. He forgives you. He forgives your parents, all that. But don't settle for anything less than the full healing. Get it all. Get in community. Talk about it. Whatever you still need to feel like you need healing for, talk about that thing with your family members, with the community here. I've gone to the Inner Healing Ministry. I've gone to many mentors here. And I've been so blessed by counseling to receive healing that I needed in my heart. And I want you guys to get that. And you'll know when you've received healing because you can talk about those things. Those things that used to weigh on your heart, you'd be afraid of, you didn't want to talk about. Now you can talk about them with other members of your community. It's a part of your life that you can bless others with, that you can share. There's hope for in whatever it is that you've gone through. So I want to encourage you in that so that you can be full members of the community making battle plans for parenting with everybody else. Did you want to say something? You do.
Yeah, I do. And I just want to add that you guys all matter. Like I already said, I got to share my story about what it looked like to get loved on when I was a child. But even if you don't have children, please like step into these people's lives. They are awesome. I can testify. I know all of them. I think all of them have spent time at my house. And they're rad little human beings that need your voice. Your voice matters. Your voice is powerful. And it's really not hard. If all you can offer is a shake, then go get a shake with a kid. You know, if you can offer drawing, hey, let me show you how I draw. You know, they would be so stoked. They would just be like, what? I get to like watch a real artist draw. Whatever it is, you matter. Your voice in our kids' lives matter.
Can you tell them what Nate and Chelsea did already?
Oh, yeah. We just this week, Nate and Chelsea, as like a date for themselves, poured into Christian. They picked him up for lunch for his birthday, and he had the best day of his life. What did you say? Prehistoric pets. Yeah. Yeah, and Christian is still talking about it. Christian actually still talks about Pastor Brad had to go pick up breakfast burritos, and they literally were in the car for like 10 minutes or maybe 15. But Christian will still go, remember when Pastor Brad took me to get burritos for a date? And they just had 15 minutes of interaction, but that impacted his life. And so I just really want to reiterate that your voice in our children's lives matter.
Yeah.
It is huge.
All the children, not just yeah. talking about our specific kids, but all yeah. the kids here.
Yeah.
All right. And I want you to remember, guys, that Jesus said you are not abandoned. You are not abandoned as orphans. He will come to you, and that all of God's promises are yes and amen.
That's it. Thanks for listening, guys.